It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last week, we talked about preserving harvest-time fruits and vegetables with the old-fashioned vinegar drinks known as shrubs. This week, we're joined by food contributor Rhonda Schult of Local Goodness. She knows quite a bit about ways to preserve your harvest at this time of year, from complicated systems that will make your kitchen look like a laboratory to the simple steps you might already be doing without realizing it. She's here to talk about easy ways to preserve the harvest beyond canning. Rhonda Schult, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
When people talk about preserving the harvest, the idea of canning is often what comes to mind. But what are some of the other ways to preserve food that we may not think about?
Well, actually, there's quite a few ways. And it's interesting because, as you said, some of the things that people are already doing are ways of preserving, but they may not think about it. And while canning is probably one of the most common methods of preserving here in North America, it does take time, equipment, and know-how to do that, which obviously sort of scares a few people off. So what I like to do is introduce people to other ways that they can preserve the harvest and think about things that they can do easily and take advantage of what's in season now, particularly as the season starts to come to an end. And those include one of the other most common forms of preservation, particularly in this day and age, and that is freezing.
Right. A guy like me, that's the first thing that comes to mind. If I'm going to preserve anything, any kind of food item, anything that's perishable, mm-hmm. I'm going to freeze it. So what are the right methods and what should be done?
Well, the nice thing about freezing is it allows you to preserve things that if you wanted to preserve them from a canning method, you would have to preserve them with a pressure cooker versus the more simpler method. So things like low acid fruits and vegetables like beans and corn, carrots, potatoes, a variety of those low acid foods that are very challenging to can safely, you can actually freeze them very quickly. And peas are one of my favorite things to freeze because they're probably one of the easiest things to freeze. And these are the English peas that you take out of the shell, literally just shell them, put them in a zippy bag. And a freezer zippy bag is what you want to use. You want to use freezer containers. And you just stick it in the freezer and use them all winter long. There are some other vegetables like corn and green beans that you want to blanch first, which you basically are just sort of submerging them in boiling water for, you know, a few seconds to maybe a minute or so, just to really help keep certain enzymes that are a part of those vegetables from breaking down and altering the texture while you're freezing them. But freezing is, you can slice and chop peppers and onions this time of year, which are in abundance, as well as corn, and just put those in Ziploc bags and have them for
no glass.
There are freezer glass that you can buy, or the kind of canning jars that you would use for canning are also safe for freezing, but you have to invest in those cans or those jars. So if you're not going to be canning and you don't want to make that investment, what I like about the zippy bags is you can lay everything flat and you can really preserve and use a lot of space and actually get a lot more in your freezer than you can by having glass jars and things like that. Or freezer containers, like the plastic containers that you would use as well.
And the glass could break apart.
The glass could break apart.
We learned that in college, putting the beers out on a cold night.
Well, yes, because you have to leave enough space for expansion and so forth,
right,
if you're doing liquids.
I can't tell you how many of those bottles were found exploded the next day.
Well, and that's one of the things, too. If you're freezing individual items like beans and corn, there's not going to be a lot of expansion. But you can also take your seasonal produce and turn them into soups and purees. This time of year with squashes and pumpkins coming in, you can either cube them and freeze them or make them into purees that you can put into souffles and soups and all sorts of things. And those you want to put in a container and have enough space that you allow for that freeze expansion to occur so you don't have your lids popping off in the freezer. And that's not going to hurt anything. You're just going to be subject to freezer burn if you do that.
Right. Stuff is not going to be preserved as well as it could be otherwise.
Right.
Now then, there's also the drying and dehydrating method.
And these are, we're kind of now starting to venture into some of the more old world techniques of preserving. And drying is probably one of the simplest and probably one of the oldest ways of preserving. And many, many foods, believe it or not, can actually be preserved, including your fruits like apples, tomatoes, grapes, apricots, cherries, bananas. We've seen banana chips in the grocery stores. They all dry very well. You can also dry meats and other things, but those are a little bit more tricky. You want to make sure that you're using particular recipes for those. But think of beef jerky. Beef jerky is really dehydrated meat. It's shelf stable, and we make beef jerky at home, but I always keep mine, rather than keeping it on the shelf, I do take that extra step and keep it in the refrigerator. But drying is just as simple as they did it back in, the dawn of time. You can string your vegetables, like apple rings. You can ring those up and put them on a string outside in the sun. You can lay tomatoes out.
You don't need some newfangled technology.
You don't need newfangled technology. Now, the trick with doing it outside is you're subject to weather, humidity. You want a dry heat, so it's better to use your oven. We have the convenience of modern technology, and you can keep your oven on very, very low temperatures to be able to preserve items like your fruits and vegetables. And one of the things that we love to do is to take a wide variety of produce, like apples, beets, potatoes, rutabaga. Nobody knows what to do with a rutabaga, even if they know what a rutabaga is. Sweet potatoes, all of those, if you slice them very thin, you can dehydrate those in your oven and make all kinds of wonderful fruit and veggie chips, which are great snacks, very healthy snacks, very flavorful snacks. And it's a way to get your family to eat the vegetables that they might not normally eat if you were going to serve them traditionally. Nobody's going to, honey, eat your rutabaga.
Spoken like a true mom who's had to come up with those ulterior motives to get the kids to eat the right things.
The nice thing about dehydrating, too, is it's something you can just sort of stick in your oven, and if you have the right techniques, you can just sort of walk away and let it do its thing without having to keep an eye on it, and things will be ready, within usually a matter of overnight or a few hours, just depending on the type of product that you're dehydrating. And a lot of it has to do with the water content in those. So, we'll have tips and links on your site to be able to tell people how to do this. And
that's at WESA.FM.
One of the things I wanted to mention, too, is there are commercial dehydrators out there that you can buy. And these actually literally make dehydrating very sort of mindless. You can stick it in, plug it, and go. So if you don't want to have to trust your oven and you want to invest in a dehydrator, that's one of the ways you might want to invest in something to preserve for years to come.
And you'll have to bring some of those things in, for us to sample, just to make sure it worked okay.
Well, absolutely. Anybody who's trying this out, bring it in and let Paul try it.
Right, the taste tester. And again, all the information that you need for doing these things, you can find links at our website at WESA.FM. On to pickling as a preservation method.
Well, pickling is one that, I think people think about pickling as one of the preserves that you might make when you're canning. But pickling is actually something you can do without actually having to go through the process of canning and preserving it in the traditional sense of putting it in a water bath or a pressure cooker, because you can actually just use the vinegar solutions or a brine solution, which are the two ways in which you are sort of pickling something, and actually just keep those in your refrigerator. So pickled vegetables, obviously, what do you pickle? Well, cucumbers, of course, and you can make cucumber refrigerator pickles, but almost any vegetable makes wonderful pickles. So whether you like a sweet pickle, like a bread and butter pickle, or you like dill pickles and kosher dill, you can create your solution and put those vegetables in that solution and just stick it in your refrigerator, give it a few days, and the pickling starts to take place, and it will keep fruits and vegetables. Fruits are another thing that you can pickle. Peaches are really, really good. So think about that. Pickled green tomatoes, which is also a fruit. But you can keep those in your refrigerator for a very, very long time, unlike produce that just sits in your refrigerator is going to shrivel up and kind of go nasty. But pickling is a way to keep them in your fridge and use them all winter long.
We're talking with Rhonda Schult of Local Goodness about preserving the harvest. And one final method we wanted to mention in this segment is infusions.
Infusions, I guess you could say, is another way of pickling, because in a lot of ways you use liquor to do that. Not to say you're going to get pickled, but you're using a liquid to actually preserve to preserve items. But unlike pickles, where in pickling you're using a solution, a liquid solution, to preserve the contents or the produce that you're putting into it, infusions, you kind of turn it the other way around. You're actually using fruits and vegetables to enhance the liquid, whether it's vodka, which is a wonderful base spirit because it's very neutral, so you can create all sorts of flavored vodkas. You can even make a lot of different extracts from that. You can make your own vanilla extract if you wanted with vodka. You can make vanilla rum if you wanted. You can use Kirsch brandy. But vinegar, obviously, is another way to create infusions for preserving the herbs that are around in the season. And speaking of herbs, freezing is a great way to keep herbs all winter long as well. And we'll have tips on that. But one of the fun things about infusions that you can use that uses fruit that you can actually eat rather than just drink is an old Swiss recipe that I found. It's called an officer's jam. And I think this sort of takes a lot of the different preservation techniques and puts it into one particular infusion process that you get the benefit of both the liqueur that comes out of it, but also the fruit itself. And all you really do is take fruit as it comes into season and put layers of fruit with equal layers of sugar as you move through the seasons and top each of those off with whatever kind of liqueur you want. But typically in the Swiss recipes, you use a Kirsch, which is a cherry-type liqueur, for any of the red fruits. So imagine you have strawberries and cherries and plums, those kinds of fruits that you've layered over the seasons, and you cover it with Kirsch. Or if you have the white fruits, such as peaches and pears and apples and things like that, use a cognac or a brandy, and you let that sit for about 6 months, and then you have this wonderful concoction. You have this beautiful sweet liqueur that comes out, but you also have the tasty fruit that is pickled, and if you have too much, could pickle you too.
6 months. Wow. And so, and we should tell people, you know, do so responsibly.
Yes.
When you do finally get around to consuming these products. And finally, are there any other ways to preserve food easily?
The one other way that I like to preserve certain things is fermentation. And this is sort of getting back to that whole idea of having a science lab going on somewhere in your house. This isn't necessarily going to happen in your kitchen because you want to sort of put this off in the corner. But this is in making homemade sauerkraut and kimchi are two types of products that you use fermentation for. And really all you're doing is you're layering the product. In the case of sauerkraut, for example, you shred your cabbage and you layer it with salt. And what happens is the natural juices come out, and the natural bacteria creates a lactic fermentation process that really just sort of simmers away. And you have to let this, again, sit for several weeks to even months. But it's one of those processes that's really fun to watch. And we've made homemade sauerkraut several years in a row, and it's quite a process, but you do want that setting off in the corner, because when you do fermentation, you get these natural bacteria and gases, and you start to have the smell of sauerkraut or kimchi, wherever that is occurring and fermenting. But it's a fun process as well.
Ways to preserve the harvest, from Rhonda Schult of Local Goodness, our food contributor, joining us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Rhonda, as always, a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.